Hey, Stella Ruminant eDiscovery fans, I'm Mary Rectoris, your host of Stella Ruminant eDiscovery. Stella Ruminant eDiscovery shines a light on female leaders making their mark in eDiscovery. This is the second episode of a two-part special edition series that we are calling On the Road. In this On the Road series, I connect with two Stella Ruminant eDiscovery guests, Joy Morrow and Trisha Johnson. If you missed part one, be sure to check it out and get Joy and Trisha's take on what it means to be innovative today. In part two of Stella Ruminant eDiscovery On the Road, Joy, Trisha, and I discuss why it is important to celebrate female leaders in this space and how we as an industry can elevate emerging leaders in the field. Without further ado, here is part two of Stella Ruminant eDiscovery On the Road.
Hello.
Hello.
How is Austin treating you? Joy, you've been here for a couple of days, right?
It's a little wet.
Yeah.
It's not what I was expecting.
Not at all.
Someone told me to bring a bathing suit. I'm like, why did I even pack that?
I brought a bathing suit as well. I'm trying to be more optimistic, but it's really not looking too hot.
Yep, I took the optimistic. We'll see. Still got a few days.
So, Trisha, I think we'll start here with you. Can you tell us a little bit about your role at Women in eDiscovery?
I am a membership director for the Chicago chapter. I'm excited about trying to bring in new members with it. So that's what I'm doing on the Chicago side. And I'm just really excited here. One of the sessions I'm really looking forward to is the board membership panel discussion. So to be able to meet some of the members from the board directors from the other chapters to do that, kind of get some ideas, because we have an entirely new chapter board for the Chicago board this year.
And you are a regional director, right, Joy?
I'm actually transitioning off from being regional.
I've been regional
for almost 3 years. For me, when I was part of the local chapter in Los Angeles, chapter director and everything. Joining the national organization as a regional director was important because we were restarting chapters. To me, it's an amazing accomplishment to have this annual meeting. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's what brings us all together. That's going to make the organization stronger. And also the publicity around it saying, you know, where are there women in our industry that want to come together? And so Women in E is a viable organization, 25 plus chapters strong, and there's room for more. Mm-hmm. So a conference like this is really great to help, again, introduce you to other people, like Trisha was saying, but also learn from each other and kind of build those relationships to say, I want to start something, or I did start something, but now we're having, you know, challenges with membership or challenges with just even name tag generation or something silly like that in regards to something so small. But because we're all working and this is a volunteer organization, we do need to share tips and tricks with each other. And I think it's a great venue to do that.
Women in eDiscovery is a volunteer basis.
Correct.
So what do you think is making this a booming organization? Trisha, I know your colleague Helen started the Indianapolis chapter,
correct,
right? And it's just growing exponentially. So what do women get out of this, either what you've heard or you personally?
I think we talked about this before, Mary, but it was an introduction to the eDiscovery industry for me. Unlike Joy, who's been here, you know, since almost the beginning of the eDiscovery industry, because it's not that big of a long of an industry. For me, it was a chance to meet people outside of my company who are also in eDiscovery. That chance to do that and a place to go and learn where I could just absorb what was going on and learn all the intricacies of it without having to ask specific questions. I could just come in and absorb and learn it. And then just a chance to just meet people.
Being in the beginning, kind of you were all in your own firms, law firms or vendor situations. So Women in E, for me, kind of brought us together and we realized we all were facing the similar situations, having the same struggles. So it was a great opportunity to kind of develop education around it. And you started to have people who had earlier experience, like myself, China State Secret Review. We were doing that, I don't know, 12 years ago. And there are people who are now starting to deal with it. And it's things I can share. There's an avenue or a venue to share that kind of information and knowledge. So there's a lot of us that have been in it 20 plus years and now really want to have some form or way to give back and pay it forward. So Women in E has been an awesome organization for that.
Mm-hmm. And those of us who you are paying it forward to really appreciate it.
Yay, it's working.
Joy, I think you and I were talking about how it's a little, I don't know if disheartening is the right word, but diversity in eDiscovery has kind of shifted in a negative way. It was more diverse when you started, and it's kind of gotten a little bit less diverse.
Well, I would say, like, in management, when I started, there were more female managers and directors. I think that came from, and again, I don't know the history and the statistics, but I look back, and early on, lit support was either a part of the paralegal program as more of like the techie paralegal. You started to have them becoming managers, so they were operationally people who did the work, and they got promoted. But I see that as we've evolved, it's starting to be a part of IT. And so you're seeing that road to management is maybe coming from, you also have some lawyers coming into management. You also have data scientists coming in, right, in regards to being the directors of these programs. So unfortunately, at the top, I'm starting to see more male counterparts than I am the female counterparts I feel like we once had. I don't know if life decisions, I mean, you have attrition with attorney ranks. You have that, you know, with partners also, this just, you know, difference or variance between the number of female partners and male partners that exists, that could also be because of life. I mean, we're having families, but also maybe they're becoming more innovators. Like, I have moved out and started my own company. Mm-hmm. So I am not in that role. So have we migrated off to being our own businesses and being taking those risks and being entrepreneurs? I'm not sure. But when I look at the numbers of my peers who are at the law firms, I'm not seeing the number of female directors like I used to.
How can we elevate emerging leaders, especially female leaders in the industry, so we can give people more options?
Looking for opportunities to help them develop, whether that is through trainings or organizations like Women in eDiscovery, recognizing that and actually kind of pushing that idea. So not waiting for somebody to say, I want to go to this conference to learn about, you know, whether it's the Women in eDiscovery National Conference or a different conference that's maybe more specific skills, or if somebody's more on the IT side, maybe you send them to a coding conference or another IT related one that isn't directly related to what they're doing, but will give them the knowledge and the skills to create that innovation. But I think from the leadership side, we have to recognize we need to give this to our employees and tell them, and maybe some of them even kind of push them into it versus waiting for them to come and ask for it. Because I think, especially as you're starting your career, you don't know that you can ask for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You have to be handed it or at least told about it at first to know that that's even a possibility.
What I noticed is helping people build confidence in who they are and what they can do. A lot of people will shy away and say, I'm not technical, I'm not a techie, I'm not a programmer. And what I try and do is, first of all, open their eyes to being a techie today is not what a techie was 15 years ago. I had to learn C, I had to learn C++, right? You had to learn to code a little so that I could hold my own against UCLA EEs, electrical engineers, that were in one of my big departments. And because I wasn't at UCLA, it was a whole other person problem, right? But there was this concept to be a technical IT person, you had to come from an IT degreed background. But through, as you started to see people, you had some wonderful people in IT who were from music majors and so mm-hmm. creative, like their minds worked in a certain way. What I learned, and this is why I have a thing called Morale Method and I mentor people using it, which is I don't just teach you a tool. I teach you to understand the dynamic of the law firm. I mentioned to you the anatomy of a law firm. We talk about personal skills, like dealing with difficult people, how to deal with difficult situations, how to write email actually to people who are very busy, and how to get your point across, and how to use other methods of communication like knocking on a door or a phone call. It's interesting on how giving people those tools and making them understand that they don't have to be, we don't need 55 developers to be, you know, to do what we do. We actually need people who can talk to attorneys. We need people who can train attorneys or paralegals also, right? The concept that giving them, helping them build the confidence in who they are. And that I could be a tech manager, which is lit support. I have a lot of my career, most of my career, lit support has been underneath the IT department. I can be a tech manager, even though I was an English major, that I handle the technical components of a case in this way. I don't have to be going through and breaking code, right? I actually can teach people how to use the tools. I can sit on a call and understand what technology to deploy for that workflow. So trying to kind of empower people, especially women, to believe in their technical abilities versus saying you have to be technical, if that makes sense.
It definitely. Were you an English major?
Yes, I was.
I was as well. And everyone asked if I was going to write America's Next Novel.
And are you?
you have any ideas? Dan's like, an English major. But look, you're now like a tech star, and I'm in the legal tech industry.
Look at all of us.
And something you said that I think is really important is teaching skills like writing an email or something like that, which is, it's so crazy. We didn't learn that stuff in school. You learned about Pi and all that, but it's so valuable and just, I think, is really important.
Well, that's the whole concept of, and I laugh whenever I say morale method, but people ask me, how did you get to where you are? And I had to kind of take a step back and say, well, what is it? And it's because, first of all, I think work ethic. In lit support, a lot of my team members who have been very successful in the last 20 years, they never thought about themselves. It was always about the case and about the attorneys and kind of having that empathy for, I got to help take care of this. It's 11 o'clock. Okay, I'll take care of the kids, tuck them in and come back. Because we didn't really work remotely. You have to come back to the office. All that time and effort you put into your job because you care about it. And so how do you look back and say, well, now I do feel that if we don't teach certain things, we're handicapping the next generation. Yes, the millennials are more technical, they've used technology from the beginning, but I'm finding they're not programming from, there's some, but mostly it's they understand certain technical aspects, but they're using Macs, and we use PC-based machines in law firms, right? So they're struggling with, well, how do you do this or that? Or you don't know Control C? Okay.
PCs are hard.
Yes. But it is. And so there's still so much to learn and to teach. And it's not always about getting the work done. It's how do you communicate that the work is done? How do you write a budget for some of these cases? How do you decide when you have a workflow and someone throws a wrench, can you maneuver yourself out of that and say, okay, we just got some new piece of information. We're going to now pivot and go over here. So you have to teach them how to think. It's not always just, oh yeah, follow these instructions and you'll be okay. But what do you do when it's not okay? And where do they go? How do they ask for help? Is teaching people how to say, you know what, don't sit there for 5 days and not tell me you need help because the deadline is in 6 days. So teaching them like, all right, spend an hour, research it. If you don't have the solution, then raise your hand. Go to someone you trust. If you don't feel like you can go to your boss, then go knock on your neighbor's door. But ultimately, you have to find help and you'll learn.
Thanks, listeners, for tuning in to Stellar Women in eDiscovery on the Road. Please help us spread the word about female leaders in the space making a difference by continuing to listen to the podcast and nominating Stellar Women at relativityfest.com. And with that, for Stellar Women in eDiscovery, I'm Mary Rectoris, signing off.